Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast. This episode of Script to Screen is powered by Speedy Comics.
You can follow them on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME and on their website, speedycomicsme.com.
Hi guys, I'm Rudy Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Mina Masood.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. You're listening to us on Anchor, and boy oh boy, do we got a Disney-filled episode for you today. This is sort of old news by the time you're hearing this, but you know, Hod and I, the solo to my Chewbacca and I, took a small hiatus due to the August 4th Beirut explosion. But now we're back at it. And as you know, he said this last time, but I'm going to requote him as our dear, you know, friend. He's not even a friend. Anyway, Freddie Mercury said the show must go on. So we're back at it. And obviously my dorkiness has not faltered at all. So we're going to be talking about Disney and how they are changing the distribution game. Because, well, they are. They caused a lot of ripples, a lot of controversy with their plan with Mulan, the live-action Mulan. But I can't talk about all this alone because I definitely need to have another perspective on this. So join me in welcoming my brother, the solo, to my Chewbacca, the one and only Hod Solo.
Good day, kind sir. Good day. How's it going?
Well, it's going well. It's going well. A little concerned as to the future of movie theater experiences in times of COVID. But all is well. All is well.
All is well. That's good. That's, yeah. Well, you know, COVID, the time of COVID has been quite an interesting time for so many things. And yeah, there is concern, as you said, with movie theaters. But I want to say that I do think that this would have happened without COVID, but maybe within a more distant future.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree. Because, I mean, you and I have talked about this in the past. We've talked about, you know, streaming versus, you know, in movie theater experiences. I do think we would have gotten to this point at some point in the future. I just think that COVID-19 really sped that process up. And it started with Universal Studios and the Trolls movie, and it's kind of like snowballed with other studios as well. For a while, it was like movie theaters are closing and then they're not closing and whatever. But there are a few things that I do want to discuss that I think are very important in hindsight to what's going on with Disney. So you ready to break this down?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. So here are some things that you guys need to know. First off, Disney has decided to release Mulan in September. They've decided to release it in September for Disney Plus members, paying members, but you have to pay an extra fee to watch Mulan, even if you are a Disney Plus subscriber. So Disney Plus, I believe, costs around like $4.99 a month. If you're only subscribed to Disney Plus, they do have another bundle, which is $12.99, and it gives you Hulu as well. So you're paying $4.99. If you want to watch Mulan before it reaches movie theaters later this year at some point, because they still do plan on releasing it in theaters, if you want to watch it in September, you have to pay $30 to watch it. But here's the thing. Once you unlock it, it's yours. Like, there's no rental fee. It's not like a rental. It's done. It's in your account now for good. You can watch it as many times as you want, but you have to pay that $30 fee. Now, here's what's very interesting. First off, movie theaters have started opening up in the United States. By the time you're listening to this episode, it's probably would have been at least a week or two since movie theaters have reopened up. Box office is not doing great. They're not doing great. There was a film that was released with Russell Crowe called Unhinged. It only made $4 million its first week. This is not good. it's not good. Nope. So it's kind of sad. In parallel to this, on August 7th, in parallel to this, the Supreme Court has officially terminated the Paramount Consent Decree, which is an old, it's a little history lesson here, but it's very important for you guys to understand this. It's an old law or like court case that happened back in the 50s the court case was called the People versus Paramount. And it was essentially, it ended the monopolizing of movie theaters by the movie studios.
Okay.
It's been overturned. It's been terminated. So now movie theaters are allowed to own, film studios are now allowed again to own major movie theater chains. So hypothetically speaking, Disney could own its own movie theater chains where you can go to only watch Disney-produced films. This is now back in play. It's a landmark decision that I don't know how this is going to affect movie theaters in the long run, but this is extremely insane. Actually, it wasn't in the 50s. It was 1948 when the Supreme Court made this. So it was 1948. But like now Netflix could hypothetically own a movie theater. Amazon could own a movie theater. And you can only go see Netflix films there or Amazon films there. The other thing, for the longest time, if you had two movie theaters facing each other or in very close proximity, they couldn't both be playing the same films. So let's say there's a massive film in one movie theater, but like down the street, there's another movie theater. This massive blockbuster cannot be played at that movie theater at the same time. Now that has also disappeared. So I can go see. So competition within movie theaters has also returned, which might be really good in the future. So this is kind of the world that we're living in now. This massive court case has been overturned. Streaming is kind of chomping at the tail of movie theaters. Maybe this is the time when movie theaters are probably going to like up their game. Cause you and I both know that for the longest time, movie theaters have kind of like, what would you call it? Like kind of like, stalegated? No, not stalegated. It's like a different word. It's like stalemated.
Stagnated.
That's it. So they've been very stagnant. Like there hasn't been a lot of experience under quotation that you're really going to see, right? There hasn't been a lot of like updating or evolving when it comes to movie theaters. So maybe this is now the opportunity to do this.
Okay. So here's my two cents.
Yes. And, I love your two cents.
My two cents. My, or what you call here, 200,000 Lebanese pounds.
2 cents. Yes. 200,000 Lebanese pounds. Yes. Makes a lot of sense. 100%. High five to inflation.
Exactly. I think there are numbers that have to be looked at. Today, a movie costs X amount to be made, and they have to, you know, make a profit.
Yes.
So they have no choice but to charge a $30 fee for people at home. They probably know how many people are on, if you want, Disney Plus as subscribers. And doing the math, they know that they will cover a certain amount of people and they will close a certain amount of money for the movies. Now, I believe that they do also save some money because they don't save money. No, I was going to say something completely wrong, but yeah, I'm not going to say that. But they definitely have to make a profit with these movies, and by releasing it in movie theaters, because they don't know how this is going to do in movie theaters. You're talking about Russell Crowe's movie that made $4 million, which is very poor, but you're talking about a Russell Crowe movie that not a lot of people had heard of. It's not Mulan. It's not
true, big
blockbuster. So true. We don't know. We also don't know how the behavior will be. Kids wanting to go watch the movie and so on.
Yes.
And you also have the world of COVID-19. So maybe today the theater chains are not willing to take or invest, if you want, in making these theaters COVID resistant, if you want, maybe spacing out the chairs, maybe, I don't know, working on different systems, maybe, because the whole even movie experience within itself is going to change. The restaurant game has changed in Europe with, you know, spacing places out. But places have to be, you know, COVID secure. And it's the same with a movie theater. And a movie theater is also a place that's closed with an AC system, which enhances, apparently, the possibility of you getting COVID. AC is not a good thing. So they need to restructure all these movie theaters. And I don't know if these chains, existing chains, are willing to do that.
Right.
Also, They need, like, Disney or Netflix or whoever need to capitalize. Netflix maybe the least because it's already a streaming platform, but Disney or Warner or these platforms which release regularly in movie theaters have to maximize their profits. And when they own a movie theater, you know, there is less cost on the long run for them.
Yes.
So even if there are two movie theaters facing each other and they have Mulan or an Avengers movie in the future or Star Wars movie in the future, because let's be very honest, I don't think that our behavior to go into movie theaters for the coming year or two is going to be the same.
Because COVID is here to stay. You're right.
COVID is here. You know, we're going to have to deal with it step by step, little by little, to, you know, be responsible and whatnot. But life will have to go on. The show must go on again. But with new rules, even if you think about like popcorn stands and do people wear masks in theater and do they not, there's so many things that are going to happen in the theater game that are just, you know, different. And again, at the end of the day, a movie has to make money. It's a product. It's a business. If it's not profitable, then they will not be able to sustain the studios and they will not be able to sustain making other movies and so on. So they have to find the best way possible. And at this point, it's a combination of releasing online and then possibly releasing in movie theaters.
Right.
Again, the edge to a movie theater is the whole experience. That can never be, to me, replaced or duplicated as big as your screen is at home, as right. good as your sound system is at home.
Right.
Watching a movie with people around you, even if it's at proximity, at a certain proximity, is still very different. So I think that this will be safe. But you also have to see what's going to happen to ticket prices. Are they going to increase? You're going to have to see behavior of how many people are willing to go to movies. There are a lot of uncertain factors. And I'm still sure that things from now till the end of the year and the mid of next year are going to evolve. There's still, if the Mulan strategy is successful, we're going to have to see, will they continue with movies like Black Widow, The Eternals, or other movies on other platforms? What's going to be interesting now is to see how Tenet is going to do, because Tenet is going to be released, at least in Europe. I know in movie theaters, a friend of the show and who moved to Sweden, the movie inspector, actually got a chance to watch it in Sweden. He's in Sweden right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's very interesting. I mean, I agree with a lot of the stuff that you said. I definitely think, you know me and my defense of the movie theater experience. There's nothing that's ever going to replace that. But I do think that you're right. I think with COVID, it's changed a lot of stuff. And as we said at the start of the show must go on, right? Movies have to make money. The studios have to make money in order to make movies. It's kind of like a nonstop machine at this point, and they have to find their way to keep it going, right? Or else we'll have nothing to talk about on the show anymore. So I do think it's very interesting. Look, and you're right. I think Mulan wasn't a massive budget. Like, I think it cost around $4 million to make. If not a little more. Let me check actually, because I did look at the math. And hang on, live action. I'm looking that up. I want to see the budget for it. So it's $200 million. I'm sorry, it wasn't 400. 4 million. That was stupid of me. It was $200 million.
Difference.
Yeah, massive difference. I'm sorry. Look, we make mistakes on the show all the time.
Of course.
Yeah. So Mulan costs $200 million. Okay. So let's do a little bit of calculating here. If we do $200 million, that's $200 million. Divide that by $30. Right. That's around 6 million, give or take 7 million people watching the movie, essentially, right? If it's $30 per preview screening, you're only required, I mean, this is only requiring 6 million people around the world. You're only requiring around between 6 and 7 million people to watch the film. Now, that's not a very big number if you're thinking globally.
Yeah.
So if only around 7 million people purchase Mulan for an early screening on Disney Plus, they've already made their money back.
Yes. I agree, but there are factors that you have to take into consideration. There are extra costs, which are marketing, which are usually not included in how much the movie costs to be made.
Oh, no, usually I think that is part of the budget, though.
No. Usually marketing budget is an extra budget. It's not part of the production budget. That I'm pretty sure.
Huh, okay. That's not what I read in a couple of books, but okay. I mean, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. But then again, consider their considering their marketing plan, it hasn't been a massive marketing plan.
No, not now, but you also have to take into consideration something else, that $30 is not for one person. $30 is for a household. And what prevents me, Disney account, to come over and watch Mulan. So you also have there are a lot of, this is an economy. This is, we have to see financially.
Yeah. You kind of like gibber, what is it? Digitize there for a second. So what you're saying is that like the $30 is for a household, essentially, is what you're saying. I do believe Disney Plus allows for every subscriber to Disney Plus, you're allowed to have one extra person access your account, or an extra device account to access your account. Those are some variables that Disney needs to take into consideration. But what prevents me
from inviting you over to my house and telling you, listen, I've got Mulan, come watch it.
True. But I think this is also why Disney is, I also think this is why Disney is now reaching out to Google, Apple TV, and there was one more. Roku?
Roku is a vodka name, a vodka brand, and gin brand.
It's also one of those streaming devices that you can attach to your TV. I think it's called a Roku. So Disney is also reaching out to them as well in order to distribute, I think, Mulan. In order to market and like distribute Mulan a little more.
Well, yeah, that means they get a slice of the pie, but so does Google, so does Apple TV, so does, and so on. So it does become like their mini, if you want, theater chains.
Yeah, true.
For Disney. It's very interesting to see how this is going to play out and how this is going to affect other movies and other releases with things going on right now.
Yeah, very true.
Hey, Hod, did you hear the latest news?
No, man. What news?
Well, you see, recently, Script to Screen has become part of the Speedy Comics family.
Oh my God.
Right? Right?
That's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. Guys, if you don't know what Speedy Comics is, it's actually this really great store at City Walk Dubai.
And you can also find some awesome Funkos and comic books signed by all sorts of amazing people. And why not stop by and have a cup of coffee? That'll be fun.
Indeed. There's also something called The Vault, which, well, it's in the vault, so we can't really talk about it.
No, but it's super duper cool.
It is super duper cool. So yes, Script to Screen is now powered by Speedy Comics.
And don't forget, you can follow Speedy Comics on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME, or you can check out their website on speedycomicsme.com.
Hey, screeners, this is Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead and Avengers. You're listening to Script to Screen.
All right, so I think it'll be very interesting to kind of like keep track of this and like see where it leads, where it goes. Because again, like, not only are we talking about just the idea of a video on demand or like streaming, but we're also talking about the shrinking gap between when movie theaters are going to be releasing these on video on demand or streaming versus, you know, what it used to be before to what it is now, which is like, I think it's like a 30-day gap now. So it's like when there's like a movie in the movie theater, after a month, it's allowed to go on video on demand, which is nuts.
Yep. It is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely nuts. But it's, again, it's how the business side of the whole wheel is evolving and turning, if you want.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I think we're in for a very, very interesting couple of years ahead. Because like you said earlier, I don't think the idea of COVID-19 and what COVID-19 has done is going to fade away in the next year. I think we're in this for a couple of years at least, for things to resettle, for things to go back. You know, are we going to go back to the same status quo? Is that going to change when it comes to the industry? Do you think the future is going to be more streaming focused?
I think so. I really do. I think the streaming platforms are there for a reason. These big studios are investing in streaming platforms for a reason. And I do think we're going to have a lot of movies, you know, being available very quickly on these platforms. And that's going to affect. But as long as they make, the end game is for them to make money. But then also you have to look at the other side, which we haven't discussed much so far, which is the whole pirating of
these things. Yes, 100%. That was one of the things that I was discussing with a few friends as well, which is like, when it goes on Disney Plus, am I going to be able to find it on a torrenting website to torrent the damn thing?
Yeah, is it going to be easier? Are there going to be parameters? Because you can find almost anything online right now, as long as it's, you know, released online somewhere, then it becomes much more easily accessible for you to download, but illegally download. But I mean, I don't know. All these things are weird. I mean, while we're talking right now, in the background, I have the TV going on, and I'm watching an NBA game. And right now, what they did in the NBA also isn't. I'm going a bit off topic, but you'll understand why I'm talking about the NBA at the end. They're living all in Orlando in something called the bubble, where they can't go in and out, and the audience is virtual. So there are people at home watching on a laptop or a PC or their phones, which are like the audience, and it's a whole different experience. And there's like social distancing between the players on the benches. The game within itself is the same on the court, but the whole experience is different. There was a Champions League game final a few days ago where there are sounds. The stadium is empty, completely empty, but there's just sounds of people in the background to make it feel real. So everything is changing. Every single thing you can imagine is shifting and changing. So yeah, now there's an ad on NBA TV where you see an old game with crowds of people and over. And you have to see how this is going to translate financially, because everything at the end of the day is a business. And
for a business
to sustain, has to make money. How does it make money? They have to think of innovative and creative ways. And with movies, there are so many other things that go left and right, which merchandise, which toys at McDonald's or Burger King for a movie like Mulan. It doesn't just end at the movie theater. There are other ways for them to make money. So,
yeah, I mean, this is why I don't know if I mentioned this to you earlier, but Disney was losing around, what was it? Like they were losing around like $30 million per day during the beginning of the pandemic, because the theme parks were closed, the cruise ships were closed, the stores were closed, the movie theaters were closed. You know, like they were losing money by the bundle. Like this was a huge hit for Disney. So I do understand that they are now in this, like, how do we fix this? How do we survive as a company? How do we keep making movies? How do we not fade away into the dark? And then, you know, jumping on board of your NBA thing, my grandma watches French television stations, and there's this like massive what is it, game show that she absolutely adores, and she never misses an episode. Yeah. Even they are doing virtual audiences as well. Like, so it's not that far fetched, you know, like for the NBA to do it as well.
I think I know like what show you're talking about.
Yeah, Douze Coups de Midi. You know, what is it, like 12?
Yeah, with Jean-Luc Reichmann.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I've actually caught it, and yes, the contestants' families are virtual in the background.
Yes, yep, they're like zooming in, or like Zoom calling into the show, which I find absolutely hysterical. But I mean, like this is the way of the world now. It's very interesting, and you know, the film industry isn't immune to this. Actually, I think it's the most affected by this.
Saturday Night Live is done via, you know, video calls laptops and cell phones.
It's just weird. Really weird.
And I was watching it yesterday, and they introduced these fake laughs, which are so fake, which is terrible, which it just doesn't land.
Yeah, it's you went on mute. I don't know. Yeah, you muted yourself, I think, accidentally.
Sorry.
I mean, even us, look at the way we're doing our podcast. It's just like we're Zoom calling in our podcast. It's nuts. Like I said earlier, it's going to be very interesting to see how this progresses, how this changes. This is the time to be really analyzing and looking at the numbers and looking at what direction is it going in? Because at the moment, it's literally us looking into the unknown. But it's an exciting time. It's exciting time. I think Christopher Nolan is still dead set on releasing Tenet. He did release Tenet, I think, is what you said. It already released in Europe. So it's very interesting. It's interesting times. Interesting times.
Definitely.
All right. For this week's recommendation, what do you recommend, Mr. Solo?
Speaking of the NBA, that's why, I brought it up. I want to recommend a documentary on Netflix called The Last Dance.
Michael Jordan.
Michael freaking Jordan. It is such a well-made documentary. Even if you're not a basketball fan, a Chicago Bulls fan, or Michael Jordan fan, it's a very interesting documentary to watch, to see how this man impacted an industry, how this man, wanted to chase perfection and chased, being the best and being the greatest. And on a personal level, it's very interesting for you to watch and to learn and to grow. And it's shot and it's filmed in such a way, showing you his last season with the Chicago Bulls, and it takes you back to his first season, and it keeps going back and forth, and focuses on other players and other members of the staff at the Chicago Bulls. Personally, I am a big fan of the NBA, of Michael Jordan, and of the Chicago Bulls. So get into this shit, watched it, and I just loved it.
You've gone all digital.
And admire someone like The Last Dance. It's on Netflix.
The Last Dance. It's on Netflix. Everybody check it out. What I'm going to recommend is something else on Netflix, because I saw the new marketing campaign for it. We've recommended it before, but I'm going to recommend it again because I can't get enough of this crap. It's so good. Netflix this morning released the marketing campaign for Cobra Kai. Basically it's a massive 3-minute trailer that very much teases a little bit of season 3. But it just got me super excited about it. And again, I'm all for promoting stuff with hope, with heart, and with a lot of light. And I think Cobra Kai is one of those things. So that's going to be my recommendation for this week. Again, I mean, we've recommended it twice before already. I'm going to recommend it a third time. I don't care. It's freaking good. And it's super exciting because season 3 is coming out very, very soon. On Netflix. So a lot to look forward to and be excited about.
Exactly.
All righty, guys. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Script to Screen Official for the official account, but you can also follow me on my personal account, Alan.Mahana. You can also follow the Solo to My Chewbacca on
Had.Solo.
You can also follow our sponsors, Script to Screen. Massive shout out to them. Speedy Comics. Wow. I am being a little narcissistic today. It's fine.
you can follow our buddies at. I'll take it away if you want.
Sure.
I got it right this time. So Speedy Comics ME on Instagram, and if you want to check their website on the internet, it's www.speedycomicsme.com. These cats are dope. Go check them out.
Exacto Mundo. You could also, did you talk about their website?
Yes, I did.
Okay, awesome. I'm zoning in now. I don't know what's going on. It's chaotic times here. You can also listen to us on all podcast platforms. We're available on Anghami, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, which is our main host for the podcast. You can send us DMs or voice message us on Anchor as well. It's free. You can just check out the website, anchor.fm/script2screen. Thank you so much for joining us, dear screeners. Thank you for supporting the show, always tuning in. We love you guys. We wouldn't be here without you. Had, you have yourself a great rest of your week.
You too. And I want to tell you, screeners, don't forget to donate to the Lebanese Red Cross, to any local NGO you want to help. because Lebanon needs you now more than ever. So you can find things we share on our personal accounts, Live Love Beirut and so on. Lebanon has really been affected by the blast and we need your support.
Exactly. And another reminder, since you know, we're flipping it this time, another reminder as well, for all you guys who know us, 16 millimeter is our home base. It's like our headquarters. If Script to Screen had a fortress of solitude, this would be it. It's our family home. It's our family gathering where we meet all of our friends and all of our movie lovers in Beirut and from outside of Beirut. It's a great place. You can also support the relaunch, the reboot, the remake of 16mm, which was affected by the blast, via the link on Hod.Solo's Instagram, or Hod Solo's Instagram, which is Hod.Solo. You can also help us there as well if you want to do that. Thank you for tuning in. Hod, I love you, my brother.
Thank you. Love you too, my friend.
And we'll see you guys on our next episode of Script to Screen. We are out of here.
Take care and don't forget to wear a mask.